This is Brother Gino, welcoming each and every one of you to another broadcast of the Pastor's Study. Well, God is so good, isn't he? It's allowed me another week to be with you, praise the Lord, and it's good to be with you here on the Pastor's Study. The last time that we were together, we began a study on things missing in hell, based on that famous passage of Scripture found in Luke chapter 16 and verses 19 to 31. And we're going to continue in just a moment. But I want to mention some men. I want to go to the Word and Lord and for a word of prayer before we begin. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for saving this sinner. I don't deserve to be here today. I don't deserve to have a radio ministry. I don't even deserve to be alive. I deserve to be burning in hell right now. And I thank you for your amazing grace, for your abundant mercy, dear God. Father, I thank you for Calvary, for the rugged cross, for the shame and the reproach that your son, he bared without the camp. Amen. Father, I thank you for this great door of utterance, this wonderful opportunity to reach so many through this radio ministry. Father, I pray it bring honor and glory to you and to you alone. Father, we pray there's a saint that needs to be encouraged, they'd be encouraged today. Someone needs to be admonished or rebuked, that they would get whatever they need from thy word. Father, also we pray, never forget the precious soul that may be listening that's lost, and that right now their eternity is hell, but that they have the opportunity right now to be saved, to believe on Jesus Christ, to believe that he died. He died for their sins, according to Scripture, was buried, and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. That they believe on Jesus Christ, because to believe on Christ is to receive eternal life itself. Father, now, we commit the rest of this time into thy hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We looked at some things so far that we saw that will be missing in hell. No mercy. There'll be no mercy in hell. Amen. That's going to be lacking. No saints. There'll be no people of God in hell. There'll be no water. Fourth thing I want to see that's going to be missing in hell is there's going to be no relief. No relief. Notice in Luke chapter 16 with me, if you would, in verse number 23. In Luke 16, verse 23, it says, in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Now notice, it doesn't say torment, but torments, plural, more than one type of torment. He was experienced, this man, this rich man, experiencing more than one kind of torment. In verse 24, the rich man said very distinctly, I am tormented in this flame. Abraham said to the rich man concerning his state, thou art tormented. In verse 28, the rich man refers to hell as this place of torment. In hell, my dear friend, there is no relief from torment. Amen. Jesus tells us that there exists in hell an actual fire, an actual flame. In Mark chapter 9, verse 43, Jesus said, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Jesus three times says in Mark chapter 9 and verse 44, 46, and 48 about hell, where their worm dieth not, in the fire is not quenched. Talking about the occupants of hell, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. The fire in hell, my dear friend, is never extinguished. Can never be put out. The fire in hell is an eternal fire and an eternal flame. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, Jesus says about hell, it is a place of everlasting fire. Everlasting, my dear friend, means no end, no relief. In the book of Revelation, in chapter number 14, in verses 10 through 11, the Apostle John said this about the occupants of hell. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, forever and ever. Again, there's no end. There's no relief from torment, from suffering. Just like the life Jesus gives you when you get saved, eternal life, so is the fire in hell eternal, my dear friend. I tell you, my dear friend, that I would rather go through the fires and trials of life now with Jesus, which are but for a moment, than spend eternity in the fires of hell without Jesus. Amen. We're told about three Jewish boys back in the book of Daniel in chapter number 3. In verses 19 to 25. Because they would not bow down to the image of Nebuchadnezzar. Because they would not bow down to the ways of the world. Because they were not men pleasers, but God pleasers, they were cast in a literal furnace of fire. However, we are told that the Son of God was with them. My dear friend, Jesus said that if we get saved, that our trials and troubles would not go away. Trials and troubles are part of this life. Amen. Job said, man who is born a woman is of a few days. Amen. And many troubles. But the difference is, my friend, with Jesus, when we may go through the fires of this life, Jesus may not take us out of the fiery trials. But one thing he does promise is to be with us and to get us through them. Amen. Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. My dear friend, my child of God, are you going through a fiery trial right now? Maybe it's because you're out of the will of God. Maybe it's because you've been disobedient to God. And maybe you're experiencing the chastisement of Almighty God. But I'll tell you, the Bible says, praise God for that chastisement, because that shows you that you belong to Him, that you're a son of the King. But whatever you're going through, hang on to that promise. Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Remember whatever afflictions you have that you go through. Paul the Apostle says, they're but light afflictions. They're but for a moment. And what you're going to get in glory is going to far outweigh them. Amen. You've got everything. You're complete in Christ. Amen. In Jesus Christ dwells the fullness of the Godhead. My dear friend, if you're saved, if you're born again, you're accepted in the Beloved. You're seated in heavenly places. Amen. You're sealed. Amen. Until the day of redemption. What else is missing in hell? There's no answered prayer in hell. The rich man makes two separate requests. The first one is found in verse 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. He asked God for Lazarus to come to cool his tongue. The second one is found in verses 27 and 28 of Luke 16. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. He wanted Lazarus to be sent to witness to his family, so they wouldn't end up in the same place as he was. My dear friend, but you notice, both requests were heard, but denied. The first request was for mercy. As we saw before, you will find no mercy in hell. The second request was for a supernatural witness to be sent to the rich man's family. And Abraham told the rich man, if his family did not believe the word of God, remember the word of God is a supernatural book. It's a supernatural witness of and by itself. And if they would not believe the word of God, Abraham said, then they would not believe one who came from the dead. If you think about it, Jesus is a supernatural witness from the dead. Yet people today do not believe the record of him and the word of God. And Jesus is the word. Right now, right this very moment as I speak, there is a burden for lost souls in hell. However, it is too late to pray for lost family members in hell, because your prayer will go unanswered. There's no answered prayer in hell, amen. Number six, there are no unbelievers in hell. Let me tell you, hell makes a believer out of everyone. But once in hell, it's too late. It's too late to be saved, to be born again. My dear friend, we only get one window of opportunity to get saved, and that's when you're alive on this earth. There is no second chance, the Bible tells us. Over in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 9, in verse 27, the Bible declares, as it is appointed unto men, wants to die. But after this, the judgment. It doesn't say, but after this, there's purgatory or you get a second chance. Amen. No. As it appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Back in Luke chapter 16, and verses 27 to 28, we read, and then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. You see, hell made a believer out of the rich man. So much so that he wanted his family saved. The Bible tells us that an individual is saved by grace through faith. Saved by grace through faith. Amen. Saved by grace through faith. Faith in Christ alone. Amen. Say, by grace alone and Christ alone. Amen. No other way. Something cannot be a faith if you actually can physically see and touch it. Faith, the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Jesus said, blessed are they that have not seen, yet have believed. That's what he said, amen, to Thomas, when Thomas wouldn't believe until he could actually put his hands in the wounds of Jesus. Jesus said, blessed are they that have not seen yet have believed. So you must believe on Christ now. Right now, before it's too late. Amen. What a wake-up call. What a wake-up call, my dear friend, to die and wake up in hell. To find out that you've been lied to by the people you trusted, by your religion, to find out what the Bible said is true. Let God be true, and every man a liar. So we see there are no unbelievers in hell. Number seven, there is no comfort in hell. No comfort in hell. In verse 25, we read in Luke 16, but Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Our verse shows us all the comfort an unsaved person will get is while he is here on this earth alive. In hell, there will be only torment and no comfort. In verses 20 to 21 in Luke 16, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, in desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. We see that Lazarus had it rough while he was alive, but when he died, because he was saved, he was eternally comforted. Lazarus had lost the torment of life on earth and gained the eternal state of comfort in Abraham's bosom. As Christians, we are told if you're going to live godly for Christ Jesus, then you're going to You got to expect it. You're going to suffer persecution. Mark it down. Amen? Jesus told his disciples and he told us, they hated me, they're going to hate you. I tell you that I would rather suffer the persecution and the torment this world has to offer than the eternal torment at the hands of God in hell. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 24 to 26, we see the testimony of Moses. We're told by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. See, if he had turned against the people of God and the things of God, he would have ended up in hell, amen. But he realized, amen, that the afflictions he were going to experience then and now were nothing compared to what he was going to receive someday in glory. Lazarus suffered affliction, but the rich man chose the pleasures of sin for a season, amen. And that season was short compared to eternity, amen. That's how the devil will tempt you. He thinks, oh, sin, it looks so great, and it's going to last forever, amen. You know, some of you old bucks out there, amen, you hit middle-aged, and you see some young thing, and you start thinking about it, and you think about your wife, oh, the old gray mare isn't what she used to be. Well, let me tell you something else, Buster. The Italian stallion ain't what he used to be either, amen. And that thing, that fling, is only going to last for a season, my dear friend, and that sin is going to cause wreck and ruin to you and your family and to everybody else, amen. And that season was shot, amen, for that rich man compared to the eternity that he's burning in hell right now. Paul the Apostle reminds us, whatever we suffer down here on earth is nothing compared to the glory that we are going to receive in heaven. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, for our light afflictions, Paul said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. And we know a moment is a twinkling of an eye. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Amen. Oh, the devil going to say, oh, it's great. You don't want to go through anything now. You want to have fun. You want to, just love it. Go through the persecution now, my friend. Because once you get to glory, you're going to be shouting and running the aisles for all eternity with Jesus. So we see there is no comfort in hell. Finally, let me say, number 8, there's no escape in hell. There's no escape from hell. There's no way out. And verse 26 of Luke 16, and beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come for thence. There's final separation, amen. There's final separation from the Savior, from the saints, from the Scriptures. A great gulf cannot be spanned when you're dead. The hymn at Calvary says, oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. My dear friend, either you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior for the forgiveness of your sins right now while you're alive and span that great gulf, or someday you'll wake up in hell and it will be too late to span that great gulf. Maybe you're thinking, then I'm not that bad enough to go to hell. Who do you think you are? Well, let me tell you something. Revelations 21:8 tells us about the occupants of the lake of fire. But the fearful and the unbelieving, you see that? The fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. The unbelievers, what's going to happen, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. See, if you reject Christ, and you don't believe that he died to save you, and you don't believe on him from the heart, then you're an unbeliever, and you're going to have your part in that lake of fire, which is the second death, my friend. But if you've never believed from your heart that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and arose the third day to save you from going to hell, you're going if you don't do it. If you're trusting in anything else except the shed blood of Jesus Christ to save you, then according to the Word of God, you are an unbeliever and will end up in the lake of fire someday to burn for all eternity, forever and ever. My dear friend, I beseech you, I plead with you, before it's too late, won't you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save you and span that great gulf that exists between your sins and God? The Bible says, whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Won't you be saved today? Today we've seen things missing in hell, no mercy, no saints, no water, no relief, no answered prayer, no unbelievers, no comfort, no escape. Christian, won't you be a faithful witness for the Lord and do as Jude says in Jude 22-23, says, and some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. That's all the time, my dear friend, we have on the Pastor's Study. Brother Gino signing off, saying, may God richly bless you is my prayer, and good day.